In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are all of you?
Peachy fine. Keen.
Good.
Great. Good.
Excellent. Do you have energy?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you
yes.
energetic?
Lots of it.
Yes.
Are you
yes.
full of energy?
Yes.
Yes.
Why? Where did you get the energy from? How did it come to you?
Source. Everything is created by source.
We are energy.
Yes, we are.
We allow it.
So it's your natural state of being in physical reality to easily accept energy because you are energy, of course. But sometimes you feel more energetic than others. Why is that?
So we're in alignment?
Well, in alignment, which is your natural state of being, you have no resistance to the flow of well-being, and therefore you accept the energy readily. In resistance, all you're doing is interrupting that flow of energy. It's a natural state to have energy flowing to you. It doesn't come from sleeping. It doesn't come from eating. It doesn't come from breathing or drinking. It comes from, while that is certainly part of the process for the body, your energy comes from source. Your energy comes from the non-physical through this environment to you, and your natural state is one of well-being and accepting the flow of energy. In resistance, you use that energy to combat what you think is wrong, to fight against what you think is. In a happy state of fun, allowing, ease, enjoyment, excitement, activity, no stress, satisfaction, even thrills. You are simply allowing the energy that's naturally coming to come to you. The more aligned you are, the more in tune you are, the more turned on you are, the more fun you're having, the more exciting things are, the more you allow the energy to flow. So at that peak level of alignment, of excitement, of energy, of fun, you have the most energy. It seems like you are full of energy. You're like a live wire. And all you're doing is accepting the energy that's coming to you. That's all you're doing. You can be like that in every minute of your life. Or you can turn your attention to something that is unwanted. And in that distraction, you limit that flow of energy. And we won't say limit the flow. What we would say is that you use up the energy more in resistance. And in allowing, the energy just flows right through you. It's coming, it's going, it's coming in, it's going out, it's easy. In the resistance, well, it's being burned, shall we say, in that resistant state, in that friction. So think about driving your car down the road or rolling down a hill with no brakes. You roll easily down the hill and the energy moves you easily. It's a natural state. You don't burn any gas. You're just rolling down the hill. In a resistant state, it's like pushing the car up the hill, using all the gas, all the energy, all your effort to get it to go up the hill. You still get there, but one way uses a little bit more energy. So at the end of that little journey that you just taken, in the allowing state, you've allowed the energy to flow through you, and at the end of that, you feel energetic still. In the end of resistance, you feel tired and drained and not ready to do anything else and thinking about, let's just relax, let's just tune out, let's just stop it for the day, and we'll start again tomorrow, that sort of thing. So Imagine being in a state where you have ample amount of energy to do whatever you want to do. Well, that is available to all of you. And all it has to do with where your attention is focused. And since you have control over where your attention is focused, you have control over the energy that comes to you. We'd like to thank Alette for her question today, which gave us this platform to speak volumes about energy. And
yes,
we enjoy the ability to talk more and more about energy and what it really is, because a lot of you are confused. You think it's physical activity. You think it's needing to have food. You think of all these things. Well, certainly the body likes to move. The body likes to eat. The body likes to drink. But are you the body? Well, you are the captain of the body. You are the passenger in the body. And the body, obviously, works around your thoughts and what you're thinking, and you're allowing a resistant state of being. But you, as the soul in the body, as the energy in the body, receive energy from source and from the environment itself. Of course, these things have to have a balance and have to work in tandem together. But if you think more about how your thoughts create the energy than your physical activity, then you can understand how energy really works. Does anyone have maybe a comment or something to say about this?
I do, Joshua. I was actually thinking about energy and how we move through dimensions and gateways and vortex. And I was having a conversation with Kimberly and Source, and I wanted to know a greater understanding and what I got, what our frequency and our vibration moves us along. It was communicated to me that the new dimension kind of pulls me along, and the current dimension that I am kind of pushes me along. So I'm always always moving. It's always constant that I'm evolving in this dimension. And when I get to a new dimension, it's my frequency that allows me to go into that next dimension. And they kind of explained it like a membrane or a gateway. And because I was curious about manifestation and testing, and you told me last week that it's the system that provides me everything. It's the system of law of attraction that will provide me everything that I need, not necessarily source, because it's the system. Source created the system, but the system is doing it on its own. So I was so curious about the testing. Like, how does source know to test me?
Testing might be too strong of a word.
Okay.
Let's say that you have a desire, and you are allowing yourself to be pulled towards your desire. The law of attraction is bringing you every aspect of that desire as soon as you can handle it, right? Until you're a vibrational match to the desire cannot manifest into your reality. You aren't ready for it, we shall say. Does that make sense? Let's say you go ahead. Okay.
It's always reading my vibration. I'm assuming that
it's always reading your vibration. And your vibration contains where you are, what you want, and where you are. How you are a match to the possibility of the desire, and how you are not a match to that. And it has a lot to do with the easiest way to look at it is your beliefs. Are your beliefs in conformity with the version of you that would be a match to that desire? The version of you that would be a match to that desire has to have a certain set of beliefs. Because if you don't have those beliefs, then fear will pop up and it'll limit you from, well, first of all, from enjoying that state where you are, right?
Mm.
Let's imagine that your desire is to be the mayor of your town. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that that desire is really specific. So let's make it more like you want to involve the community, you want to bring people together, you want to move the society of your town forward, you believe that it'll be fun and to interact with other people, co-create, to build this wonderful community. And so the manifested realization of that is you becoming the mayor. You may not even understand that from your level, you may think, I'll just show up to a council meeting, I'll just get involved in politics, I'll just make my votes. But you aren't the vibrational match to being the mayor of that town, right? Mm. Where you are right now. And it has to do with your belief system, because right now you don't have a belief system that matches who you will be when you're the mayor of the town. And so as you go along, just getting more interested in following more inspired action, inspired thoughts, you go from one step to another step to another step, where eventually you have the same beliefs as you would when you become the mayor. And so now you have no fear in campaigning, in public speaking, in all these things, which you would have had a fear before. Because now you mm-hmm. see yourself in from a perspective that's high enough to see yourself doing those things you want to do, right? And the elegant manifestation of all that combines to make you the mayor of this town and get elected. Do you see how you have to go from where you are now to another vision of yourself? It's not another version of yourself, really. It's another vision. Mm-hmm. It's another understanding mm-hmm. of who you are. And so the whole system is gradually bringing you along, moment by moment by moment, seeing if your beliefs are ready to be moved, seeing if this manifestation event will allow you to see yourself from another perspective. Will it allow you to rethink that limiting belief? Will it allow you to rethink a beneficial belief? Will it allow you to move up, 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 up the path to where you eventually are the version of you that's a perfect match to your ultimate desire, even if you don't know what that desire is, even if you can't even state what that is? And most of you can't state what that is right now, because, and there's a reason for this. The reason is that you're vibration right now is not a match to even the idea of who you will be in the future when you're a vibrational match to that. That whole idea isn't even available to you because you're not a vibrational match to it yet. You might put yourself in situations in your mind, in your imagination, that you can come close to thinking about it, but you're not even going to be close to that because your vibration is so different than what it is, especially if you're ascending rapidly. Mm. So what's the best thing to do? It's to be open. Open to the possibility of anything and resist nothing that's happening right now. Because imagine this. Imagine if your eventual desire, the manifested reality of who you will be, say in a year, is so far beyond anything you could possibly comprehend right now that to think of it would seem ridiculous to you, because the beliefs that you have now aren't a match to that. So why even think about that? Now, if you knew that you were to become a mayor, and then when someone came to you and said, will you speak on this topic? You would say, yes, that makes sense, because this is part of my ascension to become mayor. But if you didn't know you were to become mayor, and someone said, will you speak in public on this topic? You would have fear. You would say, why would I do this? This doesn't make any sense. This doesn't help me move towards my dream, because you don't know what the dream is. Now, if we say to you that you can't know what the manifested version of your desire is, and that everything's coming to you in this moment and the next moment and the next moment until you get to that spot will be a step in the right direction, then you can say, everything that comes to me is for me. This person being rude to me is for me. This success is for me. This setback is for me. Why is it for me? Let me look at a belief. Let me look at a belief. Let me look at a belief. Is that belief true? Is that belief true? Is that belief true? No, it's not true. It's false. It's false. It's false. It's false. I am more than that. I can be anything. I am what I am. Spirit. I am unlimited possibilities. I don't know what's coming, but what's coming is going to be more thrilling and exciting than I can imagine, because I am in this system and the system is leading me towards everything I want. And you might say, well, how come I don't have everything I want now? Because you are resisting along the way. And as you resist, you just put the brakes on the whole process and slow it down. Without that resistance, you can't imagine where you will go. Now, we will also say that in that not imagining where you can go, it might be too fast for you. It might be too quick. Change might be too abrupt. You might not be able to handle the change. You might not be able to enjoy the change. You might be concerned about the possibility of loss, of setback, of failure. And so you put the brakes on yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right? But if you knew that your ultimate desire, which you can't even articulate right now, is going to come to you in the next 12 months or 24 months or 48 months or whatever it is, and that you knew that this person calling on the phone was part of that, this person cutting you off in traffic was part of that, this unexpected check in the mail was part of that, this invitation to an event was part of that, this scary thing that you don't think you can do is part of that, then you would say, oh, good, that's one step, that's another step, that's another step. Oh, look, it's all coming. I see how it's all coming now. I see how it's all coming. But since you can't see how it's all coming and you want to see how it's all coming, you put up this wall of resistance.
It's such a cool system.
It's a system like gravity is, but you can see how gravity works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Imagine you've been taught your whole life that gravity worked the exact opposite of how it does work. And then someone comes to tell you that, no, you throw the ball up and it comes down. You're saying, oh, we were throwing the ball down and waiting for it to come up the whole time. We kept throwing the ball down. It kept getting stuck on the ground. We threw the big ball back down and we were hoping it would come back to our hands. And it never did. No, you throw it up and it comes down. Okay, we got it now. So the system is designed to bring you everything you want. But you don't really know what you want. And you can't know how it's going to come to you. And the reason you can't know any of that, because if you did know it, there'd be no purpose. So what's the purpose of not knowing?
The excitement.
And what's the purpose of excitement? It's not always excitement. It's often scary. It's most often scary. But what's the
expansion.
Purpose of not knowing?
Yeah, I would say that it took come up with manifestation events and fears and work through them.
Okay. If you knew everything was going to work out for you, then would it be possible to have a fear?
Yes.
If it wasn't possible to have a fear, then there's no way you could understand the limiting beliefs that you hold. If you couldn't understand the limiting beliefs that you held, then there would be no purpose for this reality. And if there's no purpose for this reality, then why are we all here? If there's no purpose for this reality, you would not be born, and you would not call forth us, and we would not be paying attention to you. But the purpose of this reality is discovery and exploration. And there is no explanation in exploring the known. Right? You don't drive down I-95 and say, look, I've discovered Georgia, for the first time. Right? So
that
this is a
so
exploration of yourself, of reality, of the unknown. And what is known in physical reality? What is known?
Almost the way nothing. You feel.
Almost
nothing.
Nothing is known.
Ah.
Everything can be discovered and rediscovered. So you're just scratching the surface, which is nice.
Excellent. Very interesting. I had a question, Joshua, about something you were talking about with Isabel, about manifestation events. So they can have many beliefs, like limiting beliefs, not just one. Like if you have a manifestation event, which I had recently, and I was trying to figure out what the belief was there, the limiting belief. You had said that there could be many.
Sure. There could be many limiting beliefs wrapped up
in that. Okay. All right.
There
cool.
could be the belief that people should be different than they are. There could be the belief that you should be different than you are. There could be the belief that this should work like that. There could be many. But you don't have to look at all of them. You just have to look at the one that's the most obvious to you.
Okay.
If you just find one limiting belief in that manifestation event, then you can address that. And you can say, is that true? Is that not true? Will you share your manifestation event with us?
Sure. So a friend had texted me, and you know what? He listens to these podcasts, so I'm just going to say his name. Angelo, this is for you, darling. I have forgiven you. Not that I've forgiven you, but anyway, he had texted me. Somebody, a friend of mine, Ed, was telling him a story, and her perception was that, oh, I was seeing this guy. So she was telling him this story about, oh, yeah, when Tracy was seeing this guy, immediately Angelo got furious, texting me, oh, why didn't you tell me you're seeing some guy, this and that. All I expect is honesty from my friends. And I said, oh, I'm seeing someone, curious. Who is that? Because in my reality, I'm not seeing anybody. So blah, blah, blah. He got all mad and kept, you know, calling me a liar and I'm dishonest and all he wants is, you know, a friend with honesty. And I was like, very, very interesting.
Good. So you felt negative emotion when you were being accused of not being honest?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the negative emotion is a fear. All negative emotion is fear. There's only two emotions, love and fear. All positive emotion is love. All negative emotion is fear. So the fear is what?
I was trying to figure this out. I mean, it wasn't a very big...
You can't feel negative emotion without fear. So you're afraid of something. You're afraid of not being accepted. You're afraid of not being loved. You're afraid of not being liked. You're afraid of losing the relationship. What were you most afraid of?
I guess it would be, I'm trying to think, because it really wasn't a big manifestation event for me. Obviously, it was more for him.
It means the intensity of the belief was mild. But it's still, if there's any negative emotion, it's worth looking at that limiting belief and reducing it even further. Now, however, if you're going to receive what you want, this is one belief that you will have to address in order to become a vibrational match to that which you want. Now,
I believe it was
when you felt negative emotion.
Right.
What did you want to do?
I wanted to show him that I was not a liar. So the belief is
you wanted to prove him wrong. You wanted him to be different than he was. You wanted him to change his mind.
Okay, yeah.
So that he would see you in a different light. So that he would see that he was wrong in what he thought about you.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
You didn't want him to think about you the way he was thinking about you. Okay, so what was he thinking about? He was thinking that you were lying. He was thinking that you weren't good. He was thinking that you should be different than you are. And he was thinking that if you're seeing someone else, then that means he can't see you.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So, one, you don't need to care what other people think about you. That's a limiting belief, that it matters what other people think, because you have no control over how they think about you. He sees you differently than you see yourself. The way he sees you is based on how he sees himself. He has fears, because this was a manifestation event for him as well. So his fears could be, he's not good enough for you. You like someone else. He's not gonna. He's not feeling loved by you. Whatever it is, you have no idea. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. For you, the only thing that matters is how you perceived him to perceive you, and your idea of how he perceived you is based on your limiting belief about yourself. For instance, if you had no limiting beliefs about yourself, and he said this comment, you would say, isn't it fun that he is so wrapped up in who I'm interested in and what I'm doing? It just shows you how important I am in his life and how much he values me. Because if he didn't value me, he wouldn't be so upset. So you could see the difference between how you actually felt and how you could have felt if you had no limiting beliefs. The difference between who you're going to be one day and who you're being right now is this caring what he thinks or what anyone thinks. And it comes, the only way you can care what he thinks is because you think it matters. Now that's the limiting belief, or that's a limiting belief to look at. It can never matter what anyone else thinks of you. because they don't know who you are. Nobody knows who you are. Everyone who sees you sees a version of you based on who they think they are and how they're perceiving reality, right? So imagine that he is looking at you through Coke bottle glasses, very thick glasses, and he sees this really blurry version of you. And it's based on his eyesight. And his eyesight is very cloudy and not so good. Because in reality, it's based on his perception of himself. Not that he's bad in any way, just that that's how he's seeing you. But how he's seeing you is different than how your children see you, how your parent, mother sees you, how your ex sees you, how your best friend sees you, right? They all see a different version of you. And you can't control how anyone sees you, because that's just trying to control the conditions to make yourself feel good. You want him to see you in a way that makes you feel good. And so you're trying to control his perception of you just so you can feel good. Well, you don't have to do that because you can feel good anyway. Because when he says those things to you, you can determine how you want to perceive it. Right? You can perceive it as him being super interested in you and loving you and wanting to have all your time with him or whatever. You can make up whatever you want. Or you can make up the fact that he's actually telling the truth, that you're not a good person, that you're not honest, that all these things, right? Both of those things are your choices to understand. Both of them are your way of figuring it out, of your way of perceiving it. So we say, perceive it in a way that's empowering, not in a way that's limiting. The limiting way of seeing it causes fear. And you know that if you feel fear, you're looking at reality as an illusion, not real. The reality is that you are important to him. And that's all you need to know. And you can use that as your excuse to feel good. And in feeling good, you will not receive the urge to change him. You will allow him to be as he is. And that is the most loving and accepting thing you can do. You can accept him for his opinion, knowing it has nothing to do with you. Just by looking at every such manifestation event and saying, how am I choosing to perceive this event? Is the way I'm choosing to perceive it limiting or empowering? Well, if I'm choosing to see it as limiting, then I know that that is an illusion based in fear, that there's an illusion of danger that does not exist. So I'm going to choose the higher perspective and see it in a way that's empowering. And when you do that, when you turn it around so that it's empowering to you, you're going to feel better. And that's your indication that now you're looking at it in the same way that Source is looking at it, that your inner self is looking at it, that all your guides are looking at it, that all your supporters are looking at it, because they see it from a higher perspective. And the higher perspective is that everything is right, and that you are not here to be loved by anyone else, that you are here to accept everything as right.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. So when someone says, you're a liar, say thank you. You're dishonest to me. Thank you. I love you. I accept you. That's fine. They may get mad at you and angry and frustrated with you because you're just being this happy-go-lucky, everything is fine, nothing matters kind of person. And that conflicts with how they approach life. But that's right. Up to them to see it that way. If you start saying, I am wonderful, magnificent, limitless, I'm a being of love and acceptance, and I am not attached to your opinion of me or anything else, I'm just going to go with the flow of what's happening, and I'm going to see everything with a higher perspective, then we guarantee you, you will make it to where you want to be quickly and easily and happily and energetically along the way.
Fantastic. I already feel a change that has come on, especially even with my ex-husband. He, as we know, he can be verbal and just say the stupidest things. And this weekend he had said a couple of things, and I, exactly what you just said, I did. I smiled and I laughed and I looked at him and I said, he is so awesome. And thank you so much for being you. And it was so easy and it was so like awesome. And I wish I could do this in all situations, but I understand, you know, we need to, we have that those negative events or those negative emotions so that we know that there's a limiting belief there.
Right. And if you can imagine yourself as someone who would say, that is awesome, instead of that is stupid, then you can see the difference between who you're being and who you authentically are.
Yes.
And then you just choose to be the authentic version of you. That's
yes.
That's what you have to do in that moment. And you won't do it every moment. No one's going to do it every moment. But one moment out of 100 would be nice. It would be helpful.
It would. That will help? Just one out of 100?
One out of 100.
Awesome. Because I do feel like I wish I could do it more often. But I guess it's the practice, like anything.
Practice.
Just keep practicing. Yeah.
That's right. That's practice.
Yeah. It's awesome. Thank you, Joshua.
Excellent. You're welcome.
Hi, Joshua.
Hello, Arnold.
Hello, Hello. I just had a quick question about the flow of energy you were talking about earlier. When we resist the flow of energy, we create some physical symptoms sometimes.
Well, you're not resisting the flow of energy. You're resisting what's happening. And that causes a constriction in the flow of energy.
Oh, okay.
So you're open to the flow of energy. If I gave you $100 right now, I said, Arnaud, here's $100. You would look at that $100 and you would say, that's fantastic. And you would feel excited. And the excitement is opening up the valve of the energy.
And I was wondering whether if we allow more energy to flow than we are used to because of focus, can we also create physical symptoms of that? And the reason I'm asking you is because I've been asking myself this question for the past few days and weeks because I've experienced some weird thing with my sight, with my vision, some sort of fuzziness. And maybe it's just because I'm getting older and that's how it works. That's how I'm getting a new, different perspective. But sometimes it just feels like that's connected to the energy that I'm flowing. So
if you have chronic resistance to anything, it's going to come up to you first as a negative thought. And if you resist that negative thought, it's going to come up to you as a negative or a manifestation event that causes negative emotion. And if you keep saying that that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, then it's going to manifest as a physical bodily condition. And then it's going to, if you keep ignoring that, it'll manifest as a chronic physical bodily condition. And when you start to relax and go with the flow and not care so much anymore and think things are good instead of bad, well, those conditions will gradually ease their way out of the body. And sometimes the body will work itself out in ways that might feel a little painful or a little resistant in itself. And if you resist that, you'll just make it a little bit harder. But there's resistance trapped in the body, and that will work itself out. Now, on the other side of that coin is that in this reality of time and space, you see your life from a new perspective in every moment. That's why you are born as a child, you grow taller, you grow bigger, get to a certain point, your physical needs change, your hormones change, you get to another point, and then the body changes and changes and changes and changes, right? And it's all so that you can see yourself from another perspective. If you kept growing and growing and growing and growing taller, and you end up 100 foot tall, there's not that much value in that. But if you get to a certain height by the time you're 16, and then you keep growing, well, now you grow in age and wisdom, and your body is able to do different things. And so you get to see yourself from another perspective. So some of it is perspective, and some of it is a relaxation of resistance and the body working itself out.
Yeah.
If you were completely non-resistant your entire life, your body would still age.
Yeah, I'm happy with this.
It might have less physical problems, but it would still age. So that you can see yourself from a new perspective at every age.
Okay, because... I'm sorry, this is Kate. I had heard something, or I understood something different from Abraham, which was that we could stop aging if our belief system was strong enough, powerful enough to actually truly believe that, but because we can't believe that because society is not reflecting that, then there's no way.
As you perceive aging to be, it would be a different kind of aging, but you would still age. You would still have a different vibration. All right, let's imagine now that the Earth has a vibration the day you're born, and that you match that vibration. That's why you're born on that day, at that time. And the Earth has far less resistance because it's far bigger and has a far different trajectory and is far more easygoing because it has a lot less to worry about because it's so magnificent. Right? And you, as a human, on this planet, fighting for survival, build up these limiting beliefs. And so you are resistant. So which that means that as the Earth's vibration increases and as your vibration increases, the Earth is increasing at a faster rate. And so over time, you age so that you can see yourself from another perspective. And you might say you decline, which we wouldn't say that. But compared to you in your 20s, you might say that in my 20s, I had more energy, I could run farther, I could jump higher, I could swim faster, right? And that now you're comparing yourself to how you were in the 20s. And we will say some of that is the aging process so that you can see yourself from a different perspective than you were in your 20s. And some of it was from a resistance. And had there been no resistance, well... had there been absolutely no resistance, yes, you might look very similar to how you looked when you were 20. You might have very similar strengths and attributes with no resistance at all, but you would still have aged because you live in a reality with time. Right?
Sure.
And the reason for the time is so that you can see yourself from another perspective because you will be far different emotionally. You'll be far wiser. You will have more experience. You'll be far more expanded than you were when you were 20. What's interesting to you when you were 20 is totally different than what's interesting to you now because you've expanded and your vibration is raised.
Does this in part explain, this is Kate again, why, or maybe this is just resistance on my part, but I go to the gym, I'm with a bunch of 25-year-olds, I'm the older lady in the back, and I just think that all these 25-year-olds who are gorgeous, I just think they all look the same. I mean, I can't really define one from the other. Is it because of this expansion and different perspective that I have now? If I were 25, I would see them very differently.
Especially if you were a man.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
What you're interested in is different. Imagine being a lion compared to being a giraffe. What you're interested in as a lion is completely different than what you're interested in as a giraffe. As a giraffe, you're interested in leaves on trees. As a lion, you're interested in impalas. You know, to the giraffe, all the impalas look the same, but to the lion, each one looks completely different. Because you're focused in a different way. Now, so you see them as this generic group of young people, and you see yourself from your perspective, and that's how you see it. To you, it occurs to you that they look the same, but to them, they all look different. And you say, well, they're all conforming to this thing that when I was their age, I probably conformed to now, but now, being older and wiser, I don't need to conform to anything. I can be my own person, I can understand what's important to me. I don't have to worry about what others think. This, them all looking the same, has a lot to do with them wanting to fit in, caring what other people think, that sort of thing, which no longer interests me.
It's partly that, and it's also partly just not being able to distinguish one from the other, you know, unless they have something which really stands out. But yes, it would align with what you're saying, conforming probably.
Sure, because if you were intimately involved in them, for instance, their mother, or maybe their teacher, or something that was where they held your interest and you were focused on them in some way, you would easily discern them, you would remember their name, and you would be able to pick them out easily. Even if they were twins, you could do that.
Right.
Right. So it all has to do with your perspective, what's interesting to you now, what's important to you now, and how you perceive them is based on how you're perceiving reality as a whole.
Right.
So your beliefs play into that too. Your limiting beliefs, your beneficial beliefs, all that stuff plays into it. You get to see yourself through them, see how you've grown, see your differences, that sort of thing, with them and with everyone else. What else is going on in France?
Well, my bed started shaking again 2 nights ago, and this is flow of energy. 2 or 3 nights ago. It did this about, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. My bed would just start shaking like 3 times a week. And it was like a washing machine. You know, the spinner would be going on. So I spent 6 months trying to figure out which neighbor was putting the spinner on 3 times a week. And I went through all the buildings, the neighbor buildings. I left notes up everywhere. Please don't do this. I had my head to the floor. Anyway, I never figured it out. And then I went down south to my mum's, and there is no washer spinner below my bedroom, and the same thing was happening. My bed was shaking again.
Was it shaking
and it was just annoying. No, I was in it. And I'd get
in
other people to sleep in my bed to see, you know, if they were feeling it too, and nobody else felt it. And then it just stopped. And it started again like 3-4 nights ago, but somebody told me that it could be the earth shifting that I'm picking up. Who knows? You know, it's not a washing machine. So I'm going along with that idea. I like it. I'm more relaxed with that idea because I can't figure it out otherwise. So when it started again 3 nights ago, a lot more gently, it didn't bother me so much. But I was just thinking about energy, flow of energy.
Well, let's use this as a way to discuss any event that's happening to you. There's a empowering way to look at it and a resistant way. And since you cannot know what it really is because you don't have enough information, if you take the empowering way, the higher perspective of it, that is the way of non-resistance. And in that non-resistance, will you allow energy to flow to you? So there can't be any downside of that. In the limiting way, you still don't know what it is. You spend your time talking to neighbors. You alert them to the fact that you're crazy.
Yeah, only you guys and 6 million others know that at this point.
You're doing these things that they've... And so there's no benefit in the limited perspective, other than getting to meet your neighbors. Right? So the higher perspective in anything, whether it's the bed shaking or the light switch flickering or random occurrences happening to you or things seem strange or people telling you that you're lying, things like that. There is no benefit to the limited version. It's just a resistant state. And it's just going to drain your energy, and you're just going to come up with these urges to knock on neighbors' doors and post up notes all over town. Right? And then when they say no, nothing like that is happening, and your friends say no, that bed's not shaking, then you might say, well, there's only one thing that could be happening here. It must be that I'm going insane. It must be that something's happening to me that I should know what's happening. Well, you don't know anything that's happening. In this physical reality, you have discovered so little about how things work yet. but you think that you know it all already. And this causes you to proclaim that this is a fact and this is truth. And in doing that, you pigeonhole yourself into this life that you're living now without opening up to the possibilities of more and more amazing things that you would really enjoy, that would really be exciting, that would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And people want you to believe certain things because it seems safe to believe that. It would seem safe to believe in certain things if you believed in a finite existence, that you had this one life and that after this life was over, then that was the end of it all. But from the higher perspective that we see, that you are eternal, that this is just a brief encounter in a fun environment for the discovery of it, enjoy, then you don't really need to hold on to your beliefs so strongly because you are not a victim, you are the creator. And you create through the, what? Having really tightly held beliefs or by having very malleable beliefs. If you're going to be able to move from a vibration to another vibration, and the way you really do it is by changing your beliefs, then having rigid beliefs isn't going to help you because it's going to keep you living basically the same life. But having malleable beliefs allows you to open to any possibility. And that's really what you want. You want to be open to any possibility. The rigid beliefs are going to cause you to feel fear because the conditions are going to show up in a way that make it look like things aren't working out based on what you believe. The bed should not be shaking. That is not something that should be happening. If it's shaking, that means something is wrong. Right? But if you have open beliefs that say, if it's shaking, it could be movement of energy. It could be things moving to a new dimension. It could be things shifting. It could be my body shifting. It could be all these wonderful things that are happening. You don't know either way. But in the fixed belief, you feel fear. And in the open belief, you feel open to possibility and less fear.
Yeah.
And so in that less fear, you are just going with the flow.
Yeah.
In a non-resistant way. Excellent.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I did have another question. Yes. Sorry, if I may. Thank you. Just, I was listening to the roundtable, and it was, I guess, an episode like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks back, and you were all talking about inspiration and fear and urges. And I was thinking as I was listening to you, it sounds like there's fear either way.
In fear, you're going to receive the urge to knock on your neighbor's door and say, turn off your dryer. Because that urge is going to come to change the conditions. And you're going to say, the bed's shaking, it must be the neighbors, let's go find out which neighbor is to blame. So that I can change this neighbor, change his behavior, change the activity, so that this thing doesn't stop happening. Now, the only reason you would ever do that is because you have some fear about the shaking bed. If you thought the shaking bed was proof that you were a divine, loving spirit and you're making an ascension into a new dimension, well, there's no fear there, so you're not going to ask anyone to change because now you think that the shaking bed is a good thing. So the only difference between a good thing and a bad thing is fear. If there's no fear, then everything's a good thing. The shaking bed is a good thing. The person calling you a liar is a good thing. Everything's a good thing without the fear. So in that feeling everything's good, then you might receive the inspiration to do something. Now, that is proof that you're moving to another level. If you get the inspiration to do something, you are moving from where you are now to some other level because you're ready for it, because you've proven that you are ready for the inspiration. Now, we will not say that you're going to always act on this inspiration. In fact, most of the time, you will not act on it. You will think, this is a crazy idea. This is not a wonderful thing that I want to do. This brings up some fear. There's a little fear around it. And so as you change your vibration and move to the next level, there's always going to be some more fear. So yes, everything is about processing fear. Always.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So guess what you get to do? You get to either hide away, try to controlling everything, or get really good at processing.
Still in fear. Yeah. Or processing it. But basically it's fear no matter what.
It's fear no matter what.
Okay.
So let's see. Let's imagine that you're Lewis and Clark, and you're on this expedition to explore the western frontier where no one has gone before. So every day you wake up in fear. Where are we going to go? Are we going to encounter Indians? Are we going to have any food? Or are we going to get to a river? Are we going to have to drag these boxes that we brought with us another 20 miles today? Right? They have no idea. It's fear, fear, fear. All they're doing all the time is fear. And you might say, well, why would you put yourself in that situation? Well, because it's exciting. It's fun. It's interesting. And it depends on how good you are at processing fear. So if you're terrible at processing fear, you're never going to be the one going out and doing the exploration. Right? And if you're good at processing fear, you're going to be the one climbing Mount Everest and telling that story and expanding from that. And so the more you're comfortable with processing fear, just the more places you're going to go.
Okay.
And the more stories you're going to tell. Mm-hmm. And the more inspiration you're going to be to others.
Gotcha.
Imagine that. Yes. Imagine being an example of alignment. What is an example of alignment? It's an example of someone who can process fear. It's not an example of an easy success. Of course, it could be an easy success. If you were unbelievably good at processing fear, it would look like everything you're doing is so easy. And you might, on the outside, look like you could handle anything, which just means on the inside, you're really good at talking yourself through things and getting up there and going out there and doing it. And from the outside, people are saying, I can't believe that she could do that. I can't believe she can get up and sing a song in front of a crowd. I could never do that. Right? Well, you could never do that because you have this limiting belief that prevents you from doing that. And some people, it looks like it's so easy for them to do it.
Kyla.
Hey, there are things that you can do that no one else here can do. That none of the 6 million people can do.
Sure. I'm just a bit nervous about the karaoke in Las Vegas. That's all. But that's a fear to
Kyla can do that nobody else can do. There's some things that all of you can do that no one else can do. It's because you have your own specific limiting beliefs that hold you back from doing things that seem easy to others. And the things you do, they could never do because they don't have. They have limiting beliefs that you don't have.
Yep.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next? Since we're talking about Kyla, is Kyla with us?
I am with you.
Excellent.
That got me thinking about how it's easy for me to do some things and push through some fears and not so easy for me to push through a lot of others. One of the things that I fears that, I have a harder time pushing through is dealing with conflict. And so I've been having lots of encounters like Tracy's, with my parenting partner, saying things that I initially deem as wrong, or things come up where I've sort of stayed quiet and not spoken my truth in an effort to keep the peace or avoid conflict. And I thought that that was just me being love and not making him wrong. But I see now how I, was just sort of lying down. And I've seen this belief that I had, when I was a kid, I was always told not to talk back. And so that sort of manifested in me avoiding conflict and staying quiet. So I had a couple encounters where I felt like I did a good job of not making him wrong, but speaking my truth, putting forth my perspective on things, and received texts indicating that he had a very different perspective on how those encounters went, saying that I had caused a scene and embarrassed him in public. And at first I sort of went into self-doubt and looked back and looked at the events. So one of these happened yesterday, and I noticed how much power I gave to him in those moments, how I let it shake my view of myself. And I took time before responding to process the fear and ended up doing exactly what you said, thanking him for being my greatest teacher. My initial response was to say, clearly we have very different definitions of public outburst, 'cause all it was me speaking my truth. And I saw in that moment that I got the text after I stopped making him wrong in my mind, how he was just being a mirror for me. This part of me that's always thought that it's not okay for me to speak up and not okay for me to have or voice a different perspective on things. So it felt like a success. There is still a part of me that sees him as wrong, but also with the understanding that he is just mirroring to me my own beliefs. And so I can spend my time resolving those with myself, which is what I did yesterday. And so I got to the place where I could be in alignment and send this text, honestly thanking him and just letting all of that go, not worrying about whether, you know, where those texts go, who sees them, not feeling like I have to correct this idea that I acted in any sort of way that was completely different from how I view myself as acting. And I was able to thank him and get myself back in alignment. And then a couple minutes after I sent the text, I was outside with the boys, and Dexter pointed out $40 that he'd found on the ground. And that just felt like a sign. I don't know. It was a good, it just felt really good for me in that moment to be able to let go of what other people thought of me and realize that it was just my own beliefs being spoken to me and have a chance to resolve those on my own. And then let it go and just get back to playing and having fun. And then it felt like an instant reward from the universe. So that was cool.
So think about the urge to change the conditions compared to the inspiration to send the message that is the most empowering thing that you can do. In fear, you want to change him. You want to make him wrong. You want him to see you the way you want him to see you. You want to him to acknowledge that you weren't being inappropriate in any way. But that's not going to help you, because that's just going to add to the conflict. There's no benefit in that at all. So acting on urges to change the conditions, you can see, had you sent the text back right away, it would have been a completely different thing. Even for you, even if you didn't know what he was feeling, if you wrote back a text making him wrong, you would think about it later on, and you would be caught up in the negativity of it. Instead, you waited until you were back into a higher emotional state of being. And from there, it was a lot easier to write a text that worked to your benefit. Right? And even if you did nothing other than that, just this is acknowledgement that you have come to a completely different level of existence than maybe how you were raised, for instance. The idea is that you are right, that you can't be made wrong, that the only person that could ever make you wrong is you. And that he can show you things that bring up these fears. Well, that's a benefit, because now you can look at this limiting belief. You can say, this is what I believe. This is what I want. This is how I think things should go. And whether or not you agree with me, frankly, doesn't even make a bit of difference to me. You can also acknowledge that he's going to have his own fears as well. And he's going to want to change you, certainly. So will the rest of the world. So how do you resolve that in this new approach to life? When you are comfortable allowing people to be who they are, when you are accepting that they have their fears, when you can see what's happening from a higher perspective, when you can take the time to process your own fears and come into another higher state of being. And now send back a text that is appropriate from your perspective rather than trying to change the conditions. And yet still, they come back trying to change you. They come back trying to change you. They're always trying to change you. They're always trying to control everything. How do you operate now?
Realize that other people thinking that I need to be different is a reflection of me thinking that I need to be different. I've gotten really good at accepting other people. And I've seen, especially lately, how I don't, I haven't been as great lately at extending that same acceptance to myself.
Let's imagine that you totally accept yourself as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are still a mirror to you. Now, you totally are the authentic version of you and accept yourself as you are and accept everyone else as they are. And they say something like you're being inappropriate. How do you feel when they say that if you are fully accepting them and yourself?
I say thank you.
You not only you say thank you, but you see it as a compliment.
Compliment, yeah.
That you're being that you embarrassed me and you caused a scene there and it was really hard to be around you because of all the things that you did that were so inappropriate. How you would actually feel is delighted, elated, calm, right? The only reason you could feel any negative emotion is that there's still some limiting belief and some identity crisis that you have. So it's not him telling you anything. It's your feelings about these words, whether they come from him or anyone else. Now, if they came from a deranged homeless person who was just shouting words into the air, well, you would feel empathy for that person. You wouldn't think it meant anything to you. You wouldn't even think it was a mirror because you wouldn't feel negative emotion. But since it was someone who's close to you, you feel that emotion. And that's all that is happening there. And that emotion is based on how you feel about yourself. And how accepting you are about yourself right now. And that's all that is.
Right.
So you get to see that. You get to see, okay, how would I have felt a year ago if this happened? I would have been outraged. I would have lasted for 2 days, right? And now you think, I can see that he's having some fear. And I can see that I was having a little fear too. But the intensity of that fear is so much less now than it was 2 years ago.
It is. You said the words identity crisis, and that struck a chord because I kind of feel like that's what I have been having in terms of just not knowing who I am. And so it's harder to – so it feels like when these things come up, I'm spending a lot more time questioning, is that true? Maybe they're right. And I don't know.
So here's your identity. You are a magnificent and limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. Anything less than that is a limiting belief. Right? Okay. It's fine that you have limiting beliefs. You came here to have limiting beliefs. You came here to move through those beliefs. So the crisis isn't, am I a magnificent and limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance? It's, why can't I be that? Why am I still worrying about what people think?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You're worrying about people think because you still have limiting beliefs to process and go through. And you're reducing them and reducing them and reducing them and seeing yourself from a higher perspective all the time and feeling better all the time. But yet you say, when will this ever be done? And guess what? It'll never be done. Because even in this life, you may come back and say the next time, okay, this life was too easy. This life, I got through those limiting beliefs too quickly. Let's make it even more challenging next time. Right? And then you come in and you're someone who has even more limiting beliefs about themselves. But that intentions that you set prior to your birth are going to drive you forward. so that you can at least have the opportunity to learn information like this and follow teachers and live this life of really trying to understand who you are and why you're here. And that, my friends, is the most exciting thing that you can do in physical reality. Because the vast majority of humans are not yet there. They are looking outward instead of looking inward. Right? They are saying that these things outside of me are causing me to feel this way and that way. They are not saying that my perception of these things is what's causing me to feel this way and that way. They're saying that I must control the outside conditions because unless I do, I'm going to feel negative emotion. They're not saying that my ability to perceive things in a way that makes me feel good is what I have control over. Right? They're not saying, why do I feel this way when someone says that I'm acting inappropriate, that I'm lying, that my bed is shaking? Why am I feeling this way? Why not say, that is an empowering statement. That is a good thing. That is fine. I understand that person. I understand where they're coming from. It has nothing to do with me. I am this magnificent being who's delusional about how magnificent I am.
I wish I could be more delusional about that.
Wendy, we think that you are on the upper echelon of delusional.
Yes, I think I've like just been pushing myself through here. 12-12 right now. It's 12-12. I am in alignment.
You are in alignment. 12-13, we're going to have a problem. But 12-12, you're in alignment.
That's right. Watch out.
So, here you are. Are you fixed in reality? Or are you delusional?
I think I'd rather be delusional.
Well, is someone who is fixed in reality, or are they delusional?
Well,
if someone is going by the old approach to life, where they're saying, I'm going to control the conditions so that I feel good, who is more delusional than that? How could you be more delusional than that?
Right?
I can control the other people. I can control the conditions. I can control the weather. I can control what this means and that means. No. If you're existing in a state where something happens and you automatically have a negative response to it, then you're saying that the conditions create how you feel. And that is delusional because you have the power to create how you respond to anything. That's what's in your control, how you respond to it and how you feel. And in that feeling, whether people will agree with you or disagree with you, right? If everyone says that rain is a horrible thing, and you're out there singing in the rain, they're going to say you're delusional because the rest of them are suffering in the rain instead of having a good time in the rain. But why can't you have a good time in the rain? Why can't you have a good time at a funeral? Why can't you have a good time at a wedding or a divorce or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
You get to create what everything means. Nothing inherently means anything. The belief that something means something is a dualistic approach to life, right? Everything is good or bad based on just that's it. It's inherently good. It's inherently bad. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, that's not true. Everything is neutral, and you choose what everything means. And if that's delusional, it just means that other people have a belief system that doesn't allow them or is so rigid that they can't see the other side of that. But the other side of it is where all the power lives. And in seeing the other side of everything in an empowering way, well, empowering, it brings power. It brings energy. It brings alignment. In alignment is energy. In alignment is the flow. Having these conversations is fun, exciting, and joyful because it's interesting. And in this conversation, you can feel energized. In a live setting when everyone's all together, and we're with you, and you're with us, you feel more energy at the end of it than you did in the beginning of it. You feel a sense of energy, and it's not from us. It's from you being in a state of alignment during the time that you're with us. And that is the reality of it. That's what's real. And if other people can't see that, well, that's just them not understanding how the universe is set up from the beginning. Good. Is there anything else? Would anyone like to bring up anything that we haven't discussed yet about anything? Because we're going to turn it into a question about energy and alignment, whether you like it or not. So you can bring up anything and we'll twist your words.
Okay, Joshua, I have something. This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Okay, so this is a weird thing. I had people at the house for a dinner party, and this guy was telling me that he got in this motorcycle accident in a village not far from where we live a few years ago. And what was really crazy was that when he was a kid living in the same village, he had a bike accident at the exact same spot and fell over at the exact same spot. The next day, I get a call from my brother-in-law, and my sister broke her leg, and she broke her leg in the exact same spot that she broke her leg when she was 9 years old when we were in a car accident. And I just thought, in 2 days' time, I heard these really weird stories that were such coincidences, and I was wondering, how can you turn that into some story about energy?
Imagine that you get into a bike accident as a kid. And that you don't understand how the universe works. From your perspective, you think, I should not have been in a bike accident. I should not have fallen. I should not have gotten hurt. And so your entire rest of your life, you're saying that the bike was wrong, the accident was wrong, that spot was wrong, especially that spot. That spot should have been fixed by the government. The government should have nerfed over that spot. They should have had a warning signs about that spot. It was all their fault. This is fate happened. I was unlucky and unsafe in this world, and this is proof of that, that this spot caused the accident. And so this whole life, they hold this animosity, this anger towards the spot. But it's not the spot. The spot was just an innocent bystander in the manifestation event, in the learning, in the growing, in the exploration of physical reality. And so as someone holds their focus of attention on something they do not like, well, that just resonates in their vibrations, part of their vibration. In order to work its way out, guess what has to happen?
They have to have another event. Right? Yeah.
And what's the best possible manifestation event? One that causes you to look at a limiting belief, that causes you to think, wow, that was weird. What could that have been? Why did that happen? That's just too weird. It's too random. How could that happen? How could that happen in the same spot? Right? That is too weird. How could I see this person again? This is such a big city. How could I run into them? Mm. How could this happen? How could this coincidence be? That is so unusual. Right? Well, that is just how the universe works. It's just responding to your vibration. It's not unusual at all. From our perspective, it's the most logical thing in the world. How could it be any different? If the universe is trying to, is incorporated as a system where the system is designed so that you can see the effects of your focus of attention, the effects of your limiting beliefs, the effects of all this stuff, if that's how the universe designs, well, then this makes far more sense than having a bike crash in a different location.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you had a bike crash in a different location, what does that mean? Well, it means that you think bike crashes are wrong, but you don't have any animosity towards this one location. Right? So this person's saying, well, sure, the bike crash is wrong, and the location's wrong, and that should have happened. Right?
Right. And what about my sister?
Same thing. This location caused this accident to happen.
Well, she could location, have broken the other location. Leg, but she broke the same leg, same point in the same leg.
Yeah. All the focus of attention on a story that was wrong. Now, That's resistant, right? So it's holding in this energy and this power against this thing that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you said, oh, that was just an experience of life. There's nothing wrong. I'm safe. I'm glad I learned this lesson. I no longer need the lesson of this broken leg. Everything's fine. Is your sister generally resistant or generally easygoing?
Yeah, I was just going to say she's probably the most fearful person I know.
So the way that you weed out in fearful, if in generally fearful people, it is very hard to wake them up to the fact that they're experiencing fear. They mm-hmm. think that whatever they're afraid of is a real thing. They should be afraid of it. It is a rational fear. They're not looking at it from the inside. They're looking at it from the outside. That anyone would be afraid of it. That anyone would think this is wrong. That this is natural to think it's wrong, right? So in those people, if they have strong desire, well, it's very hard to shake them up away from these things that they think is obviously wrong. Because if it's obviously wrong, right, then they're not going to look at it. They're just going to dismiss it as obviously wrong. But if something weird happens, well, that gives them this chance to take another look at it. If something big happens, well, that gives them a chance to take a look at it. When people hit rock bottom, that gives them a chance to reassess everything they believed.
Yeah.
Right? Opening up your beliefs. You hit rock bottom. You have some weird incident happen that doesn't make any sense. It causes you to look inside a little bit more.
Yeah, she keeps getting these wake-up calls, but she doesn't really wake up. I mean, she's been to the hospital quite a few times, and she's had cancer, and just things keep coming because she's got so much resistance in her.
But they're all so for her. They're all for her. See, at where she is in her exploration is not that far behind where you are. She chose this life for the massive amounts of limiting beliefs that she would adopt. For the massive amounts of resistance that she knew she would face. Because the experience of this life is going to be very impactful to her overall expansion when she transitions. So even though she didn't get to have as much fun as she could have in this life, she does get the benefit of all the expansion from it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just saying that, okay, you had your expansion, you had your resistance, and now why not have some fun? You've experienced lack, experienced hardship, experienced disappointment, experienced blah, 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 blah. Okay, you've experienced that. Turn it around. Let's have fun now. Let's have a party. Let's enjoy this. And let's see what we can do if we're non-resistant. What happens then? There's only a few of you in the entire world that are exploring this idea of giving up the resistance and having fun.
Most Yay!
People are here to resist, 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 because in the non-physical, there is no resistance. Because there's no fear, there's nothing to resist, right? Everyone knows your business. You don't care what they think because they know everything about you. They read you like a literal book. They see your vibration. They know every single thing there is to know about you. And there's no judgment about that because everyone knows everything about everyone else, right? And nobody is even everyone else. Everyone is like together anyway. You're all in this mishmash, gelatinous jelly soup of experience together. It's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable. But here you get to resist. You can't resist in the non-physical. Here you get to resist. And so there's a great deal of benefit that comes from that resistance because it bursts such strong desire. And it causes you to want to come in and try it again and try it again and try it again. And here you are at this point where you're saying, okay, let's see what this tact is like, this course. Let's see what this new approach can yield because that has not been tried before. So we think it's going to be a lot of fun when you just ease up on the brakes a bit and give it a little gas. Some of you are driving race cars with the brakes down as hard as you can. So you've got big engines revving at high speeds and a brake gnashing into the ground.
that's great.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. We have time for one more. But if someone doesn't jump in right now, we are going to get a pina colada on the beach.
All right. This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
I don't have a lot of time because I'm about to get off and get on an interview. And I feel completely different from when I've applied for jobs in the past. In the past, I felt really not worthy, insignificant, those types of things. Like I wasn't quite intelligent enough, et cetera. And so now that I'm about to do this interview, I'm really just trying to release any ideas about myself. And I don't even know, I mean, I know some about the position and it seems like something that I would enjoy, but I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know what it's for. I don't know. I really have just been lately just saying a lot of I don't knows.
If it comes to you, it's for you. If you attracted this job interview, it's for you. Now, the job may not be for you or it may be for you. The conversation on the interview may be for you. That could be the part of it. It could lead to something else. You could make a really good impression on the person and they say, well, this isn't for you, but this other person needs somebody. That could come from you. You have no idea. Let go of any intention or any intention other than to be your authentic self. You don't have a job to get. You don't have any goals that you need. You don't have any agenda to pursue. You just need to be your authentic self in this time. That's all you care about. Now, imagine further that you are one of the masters of the universe. Let's say that there are 10 of them. You're one of these 10. Okay. There are no masters higher than you. Everyone else is your student. You're not better, but we're just saying that you are evolved. You are high level. You are in this life experience at such a high level that you can't even imagine. And the idea is that you think that you're less than is this completely dichotomous idea to who you really are. Okay. So you going in with this illusion that you're inferior is the most exciting, interesting thing. And how will you act as a master who believes she's not a master, but actually inferior to normal humans? Right. You are a god amongst humans. Let's imagine that. Even though there's no such thing because you're a god amongst gods is what's happening here. But you have this illusion that you're not a god. And then everyone, all your supporters and all your guides and all those people who are following you and interested in your life and who are learning from how you're living this life are like, this is just amazing. Look at her. She doesn't even know who she is. It's incredible. Look, she cares what this person is thinking about her. She, Genevieve, she cares what this person thinks. And she's worried about what this person thinks or if she'll be suitable for this little tiny insignificant job. It's so interesting to watch this, you know. It's like being a king, but forgetting that you're the king. And you've awoken in this village, and now they're asking you to clean out the cesspool. And you're like, I'm not good enough to clean out the cesspool. I don't even know how to do that, you know. I shouldn't even be that. That's too much for me. That's too, you know. And then you realize that you're the king by the end of the story. And then you're like, oh, my God, I was the king the whole time. How interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
So go into it thinking that this person is literally the luckiest. What if you were Lady Gaga and you were just doing this funny thing for a TV show, for a reality show, and this person is seriously interviewing someone that she doesn't realize is Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga is pretending she's not Lady Gaga and that she needs whatever this job is, and that she's like, oh, I don't think I can handle it, but I'm Lady Gaga. I can buy this company if I wanted to, right? Yeah, and then at the end, the camera comes on, and a guy goes into the office, interviews the woman who's interviewing you, and says, do you realize you were just talking to Lady Gaga? And this is all for TV? And she's like, oh, my God, that was so funny. She had me convinced she wasn't Lady Gaga. That's what that's like.
Nope. Got it. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, this was an exceptionally enjoyable few minutes that we had with you. We hope all of you will pay more attention to how you're feeling and to realize that when you're feeling good, all you're doing is allowing energy to flow through you. And when you're feeling bad, all you're doing is resisting that energy. And neither way is right or wrong. And this is all about this learning how to allow the flow to go through you. Learning how to process the fear. Learning how to see everything from the true perspective, which is the higher perspective. And not from the limited perspective that is caused by these limiting beliefs that make you have this illusion that there's some danger out there that doesn't really exist. And if you can do that, you're just going to have a lot more fun. And that's what you're here for, is fun. Because it's fun to be an explorer. And even though it's scary sometimes, it's fun to tell the story. And with that, we're complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.